Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got something to talk about, you and I, don't we? Welcome to the show here. Welcome to a Sunday morning that doesn't include the Falcons. That's because that's tomorrow. All right, I'm going to have to work on the open song because we got to get to the really good part of it. I don't know if I have to. I'm gonna actually have to have the audio. Yeah, that's the good part. Anyway, that's okay. I'll have to have the audio editors work on that. All right. Welcome to it anyway. We got 2.5 hours to talk. We have an NFL doubleheader for you beginning at 12:30. Our coverage will start at 12:30. Of course, 1 o'clock kick. We're going to have two games for you. The first game you can skip. No, you can't really skip it. You got to be on the radio station. We you know, the advertisers and us, we need it. But if you're going to be driving around, don't drive off the road, okay? Because I know it's going to smell like Swamper. It's going to stink like Stinky Town. Go Big D, which I would never, ever say. Enemy of my enemy is my friend. Go Cowboys. Oh, God, that hurt to say. Swampers and Cowboys at 1, and that'll be followed by the Bengals and the Chiefs at 4 in the 4 o'clock window here. So that's what we're going to have for you on the show today, is a chance to count down a little bit to those games. Well, and no, that's not what's going to happen on the show today, because we got way too much to talk about what's going on in town. We have, I always, as you know, do three questions, and we're going to open up the phone lines right now at 404-726-0929 from now till 12:30, because we got lots to talk about. We got Braves to talk about. We got college football to talk about. We got Falcons to talk about coming up tomorrow night. Our coverage of the Monday night game begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow, so it's going to be kind of an unusual Monday. Dukes of Bell are going to do, for them, a super short show, 2 to 4. Then Joe Patrick and I will be here 4 to 6 for the Wade Ford tailgate show, 6 to 8 with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson tomorrow for the network pregame show, and, of course, 8 o'clock kick in Philadelphia with Wes and Dave on the call, the Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'll throw the Falcons question out there first, though I have questions for all of these things here. The Falcons question that I'm going to throw out for all of you to kind of mull over and chew over is tomorrow night's game critical? Is it critical, or is it okay if they just play better? I'm just curious. I'm trying to take a pulse here of certain things. I'm trying to take the pulse of Falcons fans by asking you if tomorrow night's game is suddenly, and it's a conference game. It could be a tiebreaker game. You played like you played in the opening week. You don't want to go to 0-2. Or is it just okay if they play better because you just got to, you know, at some point win these division games and get on a roll this year? That's all I'm kind of asking for, you know, because I'm getting kind of split opinion here. I'm also getting split opinion on the other two questions. Now, the Georgia question, you can react to Georgia however you want to react to Georgia. It's kind of, matter of fact, you can react to college football however you want to react to college football. If you're an Alabama fan, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, if you're a Georgia State fan, how about that win by Georgia State last night? I on the college football show yesterday, my wild card win was Georgia State over Vanderbilt. And sure enough, look at Del McGee. How about those guys? Tech worked VMI. I mean, they just did. Georgia, wow. I got questions here about Georgia. You know, like, how many first-place votes are they going to lose? Could Texas take over the number one spot? Does it really matter? No, it doesn't. It does not matter if Texas takes over the number one spot. It doesn't matter. Just win, baby, is all what college football is these days. And you got to win the SEC championship game to get a bye in the first round. So whether you lose votes in the poll doesn't mean squat, you know, so at least not now, not for them. It would if you were a marginal kind of wild card team, it would mean a lot. But here for Georgia, it doesn't matter. But I'm just kind of curious how many, you know, first place votes are they going to lose? Is the shine off a little bit? Did you see some cracks in the armor there? Now, there is a couple of stats here that you ought to be aware of. Number one is, whatever reason, Commonwealth Field or Kroger Stadium, whatever the hell they call that place up there, I don't know, I can't keep track of these stadium names, is been a bugaboo. In the last 5 years, here's a stat. Georgia has been held under 20 points on the road three times in the last 5 years. All three times at Kentucky. 14 points in 2020 in the COVID, 16 points in 2022, and then, of course, last night, 13. And they've won all three. So, look, sometimes to win a national title, sometimes you got to win the uglies, right? I mean, let's take you back and rewind that machine there. There was an ugly win against Auburn, down in Auburn. There was an ugly win on the road at Missouri a couple of years ago. Sometimes you just got to win the uglies. Every team has them. And now, but the difference in this ugly and the other uglies is that Georgia still faces having to play in the regular season, Tennessee. Well, look, are they? Tennessee played some scrub team from Kent, Ohio yesterday. I think it was Kent High School or something. Oh my God, that game was 65-0 at halftime. Whew. You got Tennessee at home, then you have to go on the road to Auburn. On the road to Ole Miss, on the road to Alabama, and on the road to Texas. And what this is about, this is why, boy, Georgia, they needed that win last night. Just win, baby. If they lose that game last night, they'd run the risk of not making the SEC championship game. That's how important it was. Because 10-2, but, you know, with two conference losses, I don't know. It might not get you in, especially if the loss is to the wrong team. You know, so... it puts you in a precarious position if you lose that game last night, but they won the game. And the only question I have, by the way, so many people are talking about, why did Kentucky punt? I see this all over the internet. They had 3 minutes to go. You're at midfield. Why are you punting? Look, Georgia put the ball on the ground on the very next play. That wasn't the question about Kentucky I had. My question was going back to the end of the first half. Why are you on the 15-yard line with 9 seconds to go kicking a field goal? I'm like, well, okay, well, even the announcer's like, well, you just run a fade route to the back of the end zone. Either your guy's going to catch it or it's going to go out of bounds. They just trotted out the field goal team. I'm like, what are you doing? You have 9 seconds. You know, you don't get a shot at the number one team and then go, oh, yeah, we'll just kick a field goal. Whew. Okay. Georgia's like, yeah, thanks. Georgia bought its D game yesterday and still won on the road in the SEC. Its D game. Matter of fact, might have been D minus. They played terrible. But I am curious to hear from all of you Georgia fans about what you thought about that yesterday. So much to get through. Okay, so the question about Georgia isn't really so much how many first place. Well, I did ask that on Twitter. I got one reply. Well, I got more than one reply. I mean, hundreds of replies. But I got one reply from this one dude who was just, I haven't said, you know, eat dirt and die to somebody. This dude, where he went, okay, eat dirt and die, dude. So we got a lot to talk about with Georgia. Are there cracks in the armor? Are you concerned about Georgia? Is this just one of those blips and, hey, you survived it and we're going to be fine? Just kind of curious. 404-726-0929. Now the Braves. The big story today, for us anyway in town, is not the NFL. Because Falcons play tomorrow, it's not college football because that was yesterday. No, the big story tonight, Sunday Night Baseball at Truist Park. While you were watching college football and while you were arguing over the NFL, the Sorta Braves have dismantled the LA Dodgers in the first two games of this series. 16-3. They won 10-1 last night. They beat the hell out of them. Chris Sale is a lock for the Cy Young. By the way, all you Alex Anthopoulos haters, and yes, I have them on my timeline, Chris Sale for Vaughn Grissom is one of the great trades in the history of the Braves. It's one of the great trades. It's top three. You traded Vaughn Grissom for a guy who's going to be the lock Cy Young winner, and even with Ozuna, who did a great job, I don't know how Chris Sale isn't the team's MVP. He's 17-3. I mean, 219 strikeouts. And the Sorta Braves are now tied with the Mets, one game back of Arizona. There are 14 games to go. You got three teams within one game of each other for two spots. That Mets series coming up the 24th, 25th, and 26th is looming, and it'll be here, and that may determine a wild card spot. And as I've said here, if the Sorta Braves make the play, regardless of anything they do, if the Sorta Braves make the playoffs, I don't want to hear anybody ever again talk to me about Brian Snicker. I really don't. I mean, I just don't. I'll just be like, yeah, you know what? Back in 2024, the sort of Braves made the playoffs. How he's held this team together, and now they're starting to play really good baseball. Look at that team last night. You probably were watching college football. I was kind of locked in a little bit on the Braves. I'm going back and forth between about four different things because my team was playing, my wife's team was playing. I'm watching Georgia, and I got TVs and devices going everywhere. So my question for you, all you Braves fans out there, is: are the sort of Braves finding their groove? Is playoff baseball ahead? So we got three big questions. Is the Falcons game today critical, or is it okay if they play better? Are we seeing any cracks in Georgia that concern you if you're a Dogs fan, or is this just kind of a one-off and let's move on? And are the sort of Braves finding their groove, and are we looking at a playoff baseball? So we got a lot to talk about, you and me, over the next 2 hours and 20 minutes. Eric Slaughter's running the show, technical director, executive producer, call screener, co-host, was probably having, well, under the old regime at the stadium, he would have to sweep out because we didn't have, they wouldn't let us have like maids and, well, not maids, but cleaning service. So we had to sweep out the studios ourselves. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, we actually had to sweep the studio ourselves. Do we still have to do that, Eric? Sweep the studio ourselves?
Is it a necessary requirement? No. Do we do it just for tidiness? Yes, of course. We wipe down the keyboards.
Yeah, I mean,
I
was told
stuff, yeah,
to do it in a break of our show with you and I. They came in and they put the broom down. They said, sweep the studio.
I'm like, really?
Do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
oh, yeah.
We
oh,
get a little more maid service nowadays, or housekeeping service, I guess they would call it. But no, we try to keep everything nice and tidy, leave the area the same for the next person coming in. You know how it is.
All right, so I'm going to ask you the three questions real quick, Eric, and have you answer them. All you loaded up because it's just you for 2.5 solid hours here.
You got
it. At 404-726-0929. Falcons, is Monday night game, is it critical, or is it okay if they just play better?
Play better.
Okay. Two, any cracks in Georgia here? Is this concern you at all?
Absolutely. Very concerned. Very concerned.
And we'll get more into that, deeper into that. And the sort of Braves finding their groove, or do we have playoff baseball ahead?
Yes,
they're
absolutely
playing like they're a playoff team.
We are going to beat the mess out for the wild card. Yes, we are. Shoot, we might catch Arizona.
Well, yeah, you're only a game back.
Yep, we might catch Arizona. We're going.
And you're
going
only 2.5 back of San Diego. Yeah. I mean, you're only 2.5 back of San Diego.
And they have
played
each other,
too.
I think, six times.
Yeah, so those two are going to have to go right. The Diamondbacks and the Padres go head to head.
Yep,
I think six times in the final 14
times,
games.
Yep, six times. So we're good. So we're good.
They may knock each other out. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, 404-726-0929, NFL doubleheader today. The Lions are in Dallas to face, Arlington, to face the Cowboys. That'll be at 1, and then that'll be followed by the Bengals and Chiefs. Back-to-back games here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Of course, Falcons tomorrow night. You have the three big questions here, but I want you to feel free to call in if you have a college football team or an NFL team you want to talk about. Feel free. Only thing I ask is that we can disagree without being disagreeable, which means do not, like that one dude who responded to me on the Georgia thing, do not be a Richard, okay? Just don't. We're just talking, guys and gals, all right? That's all. Just having a comment. On Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, there's so much to talk about today that you have to make editorial decisions. So if you don't hear about your team today. I guess you're just going to have to call in at 404-726-0929. Big three questions for me and I think for us here in Atlanta are, and again, shout out to Georgia State, shout out to Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Alabama, all big wins. You know, like, for example, we're not going to probably spend it, unless somebody calls in about it, South Carolina and the referees. Oh, yay. Florida State, 0-3. Here's a little stat for you. Florida State yesterday not only lost to Memphis, they became, this is not anything you want to be proud of, the first team ever in the history of the AP poll to be a preseason top 10 team and then lose their first three games to unranked teams. That never happened before. I don't know who's in more trouble, Mike Norvell or Billy Napier. Oh, my God. So, we got the Braves going on. They're hammering the Dodgers, 7 p.m. tonight. Bueller, and Morton, and Truist Park's going to be jumping. We got the Falcons tomorrow night. Is it critical they win, or is it just okay if they play better? And a lot of reaction to what you saw or didn't see last night in college football, especially Georgia. Texas, by the way, Quinn Ewers gets injured. We don't know how bad. Sounds like it might be pretty bad, and all they did was put Arch Manning in, and just like his uncle, oh, my God, here he goes. That's what happened with Peyton, remember. Of course, Peyton was a true freshman, but you know, the injuries, Todd Helton, Jerry Colquitt got injured in front of him, and they put him in, and they're off. And so we'll see how that plays out here. Let's go to Philip here. You can jump in on the Braves, college football, Falcons. Take your pick here because we got lots to talk about. Roland, welcome to the show.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, yeah, I'm going to start with the Falcons real quick. Yeah, it's critical. It's very critical. You don't want to start the season 0-2 and looking at your schedule. And most importantly, even with that, you have to play well. Well, Kirk Cousins has to play well. Because if he doesn't, then you're definitely going to start to hear the cries of Michael Penix, you know, going further down the line if you, you know, start to lose these games and the quarterback is not playing well at all. As far as Georgia, though,
at what point do you think we get to that? Because I'm not sure.
When you're 0-4, when you're 0-4.
No, that's too early. No, I don't think you do.
No, not early. Look at the schedule. You think you're going to – if Falcon fans think they're going to beat Philadelphia, okay, well, we'll see. And then you look at the next two other games.
I didn't say that. Oh, hang on. I'm a Falcons fan. Don't put words in my mouth, Roland. I'm just saying, at what point – you know, short of injury here, Falcons invested $100 million in the man. I guess you and I may just see it differently. Like I say, we could disagree without being disagreeable. I think, you know, if the Falcons got to the bye week and they were, you know, and it was just going all so wrong, then maybe. But I don't see it, not unless he gets injured. It's not going to happen early. I'd be shocked.
Well, if the Falcons got to the bye week and, you know, they're not playing good ball and Kirk Cousins is not playing good ball, I mean, look, you know, we live in a, public media world, you know, and fans are going to be howling at it. That might doesn't make it right, but just what it is.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah.
As far as Georgia, I thought it was a great win last night for Georgia. You know, you're not going to beat everybody by a million points, you know, and even if you can play bad and win on the road in the SEC, you know, that's great. I mean, you know, you look at all these other college football teams, and I know it's still early, but this was literally a great win for Georgia because all these other teams have not faced adversity yet. Texas hasn't, and all these other top-ranked teams. So when you're put to the fire, you know, and you win a lot of close games, hell, look at the 2002 Iowa State. They won 8 close games, and they paid dividends in the national title when they had a close game against Miami. So games like this, you know, I love, you know, for Georgia to win when they don't play well, but find a way to win because it's going to pay dividends in the long run in either the SEC championship or the national championship or the playoffs.
No, there's a lot to be said for that. No. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that call. It's absolutely the case where winning ugly, you got to win ugly. And then no argument here. You got to win some uglies. It happens every year for just about every team. Rare is the day a team wins the national title and doesn't win some uglies. I'm in the NFL, obviously. Nobody goes unbeaten. Not even, you know, I mean, I had an unbeaten team since 1972. So you just don't even go unbeaten in the NFL. And I don't know that anybody's going unbeaten in college football by the time we get to the national title game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and crown a national champion, if for no other reason than the national champion would have to be unbeaten, you'd have to be 16 or even 17-0. I don't see that happening. 16-0? Yeah, that's a pretty heavy ask. 404-726-0929, we go to Jason. Hey, Jason, welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I'm going to be short with it, but I'm not overly concerned with Georgia because I've seen them do this before as a lifelong Georgia fan. They even did it, like, you know, you were saying earlier with Missouri 2 years ago, and they still went on to win the national championship. I'm not saying they're going to do it this year, but I think they'll be fine because, like the last caller said, you got to go through some adversity.
Mm-hmm. No, adversity makes you stronger, right?
Yeah, and as far as the Falcons game tomorrow night, I feel like tomorrow night is a must win.
Okay, you're going to go that it's critical that they win the game.
Yeah, I believe it's critical, yes.
I think it's important that they win the game, too. I really want to see them play better. I mean, you know, the funny thing is, Jason, that they didn't play poorly against Pittsburgh on defense. Pittsburgh didn't score a touchdown. And
yes, sir.
So, I mean, they actually played a pretty good, you know, as bad as they played, and everybody has this bad taste in their mouth, but if you go back to it, and they did not, offensively, they did not play well. We all understand that. I mean, there's no getting around how bad they were offensively. And yet, for bringing their C game in that regard, they had the ball down 5 in the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game. I think sometimes we're like walking around thinking they got beat 52-3.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. One more thing about Georgia, I want to ask your opinion on something. They played three games. They've gave up no touchdowns, 12-15. And I know the Tennessee Tech was not that good of a team, but do you think the defense is still playing great even with the competition?
No, won them the game last night, so yes.
That's what I thought, too, because, I mean, like, giving up 18 points in three games is not too bad, regardless of who you play.
Yeah, the one thing I have a concern about it with Georgia, and I appreciate the call that right now, is we're going to have to wait for that injury report. Tate Rattledge, if he's out for the year, oof, that's a big loss. There are a couple other guys that went down, too, so keep our eyes on that. And remember now, when you get to conference games like Kentucky yesterday, the SEC has a new rule that you have to, it's not as explicit as the NFL where you have to say ankle, knee, something, but you have to come out with your injury report on Wednesdays. So Wednesdays are going to be big for the SEC now as we move into full-time conference play, because we'll have to get the injury report for both teams. Now you're just going to be listed as, you know, questionable, probable, and out, I think, but still, nonetheless, we'll get an injury report. So again, you know, I don't think the game tomorrow night is critical. I think it's important, but I think what's more important to me is that they play better. They've got to improve from week one to week two, from week two to week three, and they've got to step into a role. But I understand why some people are looking at the game in week three, which is against the Chiefs here, going, oh my God, we can't start 0-3. That makes this game critical. It's a legitimate point. Braves trying to lock down a playoff spot and 14 games to go. Are the sort of Braves finding their groove? Can they take three in a row from the Dodgers tonight and move back into a spot where they are actually leading in the wild card race? Let's go to Roland. He's on with John. Hey, Roland.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
I'm good. I want to bring up 2 points. First, the game at noon between Dallas and the Saints. I listen to your show. I think you do a great job. The only issue that I have, and I won't even say it's the issue, is that at the end of the day, it's football. And I know there's a rivalry between the Saints and the Falcons, but you got to have a respect for New Orleans as a whole. I know you go with the Swamper thing and all that other kind of stuff, but you got to understand, people take that stuff, they take it personal. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just simply saying, when we play Atlanta, you know, I got respect for Atlanta, and Atlanta should have respect for New Orleans. So going off the grid.
What are you talking about?
I'm keeping it real with you.
Well, you can keep it real if you tell me what the hell you're talking about.
No, because, listen, anytime you mention the New Orleans Saints, you say Swamp.
You think I'm taking a shot at the city?
I don't know what you're doing. I have no idea.
No, I'm taking a shot at the team. I don't like the Saints. I can't stand them.
That makes no sense. Whatsoever.
They're a rival. Of course it makes sense. I can't stand them.
It's a football game. At the end of the day, a Monday, you're not getting that direct deposit.
Well, then I guess you're on the wrong radio station, Roland, because that's what we talk about here. Goodbye, Roland. I guess you're on the wrong radio station. Goodbye, Roland. Dude, Roland, it's a football rivalry, okay? I cannot stand your team, okay? Don't like them sticky town swampers. End of story. If you don't want to hear me talk about sticky town swampers and tell you that I can't stand you, turn the radio off. Go somewhere else. But don't call my show saying that I don't have to respect your team. Can't stand your team. You can't tell me what I have to do. Good Lord. By the way, I happen to have had a lot of great, because I think he was trying to get me to say I didn't like the town. You know that, Eric? I think that's where he was trying to, which I've been to New Orleans, oh God, 20 times.
Nothing like a party on Bourbon Street after Saints loss.
Oh, man.
After Saints loss.
You know,
and
yeah, especially
and a Georgia
after
Sugar Bowl win. All those great things.
Especially after the New Orleans lose.
Yeah.
We don't like each other.
No.
It's a respectful rivalry. Nobody's spitting on each other. We did throw eggs at a bus once. But, you know, nobody's hurting each other. Okay?
And what does he expect when he's tuning to the radio in Atlanta for us to not be a little Saints negative?
On the Falcons flagship station.
Right. We're supposed to be Saints negative.
For a guy who's been a Falcons fan for, this is my 50th year. 5-0. Not 5th. Not 15th. 50th.
You know, I mean, Roland, I know you're still listening. We're not wishing no injuries. We're not asking nobody to get fired. But
no,
we're saying
we're not.
Lose every game. We'd be fine. Lose every game. Especially
we can't stand
when you play
your team.
Us.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'll roll with you, Roland. You could buy me a hurricane at Pat O'Brien's and do the whole that whole thing, you know, the whole touristy thing you want. I take you down for turtle soup at Old Nolan's Cookery or something. We'll listen to some jazz.
Get a po' boy at Mama's.
We'll roll into. Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, we'll do all that kind of stuff. It'd be fine. I got nothing against the city. It's a unique town in America. It's kind of different, you know. I have actually, for as many times as I've been to New Orleans, Eric, and I've been there a lot. I mean, because I've been to Super Bowls, I've been to SEC championships, I've been to Final Fours, I've been to conventions, et cetera, et cetera. I have never gone to Mardi Gras.
Could you get a hotel room? I mean, that's a tough.
Well,
that's a tough week
to
get a hotel
room. Yeah,
no, I've been.
I don't know. I've never been to Mardi Gras. I can't tell you if you could. You probably have to stay out in St. Tammany or something.
Yeah. I've been to Mardi Gras Light. I was at Falcons Saints. It was Halloween weekend. That was Mardi Gras Light. Ooh, that was the funnest time I ever had.
I've always heard that if you want to go to Mardi Gras, don't go to New Orleans. Go to Lafayette.
I've heard you go to Alabama, Mobile. Mobile's got a really good weekend of Mardi Gras as well.
Yeah, I mean, so anyway, he was trying to bait me. Oh, you have to have respect. Oh, stop it. You know, if you can't understand that's what makes this enjoyable, well, I've got respect for the Falcons. Yeah, sure. Sometimes I wish it was TV, so you see me roll my eyes. All right, so the Swampers are on today, by the way, playing the Cowboys. Go, Cowboys, go. Oh, my God. Go, Cowboy, go. Go, Cowboy. Was that like Cowboy Trey? Falcons, Monday Night Football, is it critical that they win, or is it just okay that they look, you just got to play better? Sort of Braves finding their groove. We got playoff baseball ahead, and let's talk a little college football. Any cracks in that Georgia armor? You got road games against Ole Miss, Alabama, apparently Arch Manning in Texas. Boy, Arch Manning lit it up, too, when he came in, huh? All right, 404-726-0929, John Fricke on a Sunday morning on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. Sports Radio 99 The Game is the flagship station of Atlanta United, which, oh man. All right, I know. The flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks radio network. And, of course, the flagship of the Atlanta Falcons radio network. And of all the things that we have to talk about for the next couple of hours at 404-726-0929, we have the Falcons to talk about. Is Monday Night Football critical? Is that game tomorrow critical? Or is it okay if they just kind of play better and show you, you know, hey, listen, this is going to work with Kirk Cousins? You know, and by the way, I just don't see them moving away from Kirk. Short of injury, guys, maybe, you know, if it does go sideways on you, I hope it doesn't. I understand why people would be negative Nancy right now. I get it. I was concerned too, you know, because I didn't realize until Joe Patrick and I were talking about it that Raheem Morris kept saying, hey, he's healthy, he's healthy, he's healthy. And I didn't realize, and then the light bulb finally went off. Oh, healthy and 100% are not the same thing. So this week they kind of came out and started saying, oh, he's 100%. Okay. They started responding to that. I'm like, all right, well, if that's the case, then let's see if you play better tomorrow night. Georgia, are there cracks in the armor? Or did you, look, you got to win some uglies. Is that a good win? I think some of the fans who are saying that it's a good win, and well, certainly it's a good win, because the number one goal is not, if they lose votes in the poll, the number one goal is you have to make your conference title game. The fact is the playoff has made the conference title games even more important, because there have been a couple of times in the old model where a team made it to the national playoffs without making it to the conference title game. Now, in order to get a bye, you have to win your conference title game, because that's what the top four leagues, top four conference championship game winners are going to get byes. That doesn't mean it's always going to be the Power Four. Probably will mean more times than not. But it could be the champion of the Big Ten title game, champion of the SEC title game, champion of the Big 12 title game. And who knows, it could be the champion of the, well, there's some group of five action going on out there right now. It could be, you know, somebody else. You know, that's why Notre Dame cannot be, Notre Dame, Washington State, and Oregon State, those three schools cannot possibly get a bye. Even not that Notre Dame would get a bye, but they did beat Purdue by 95 points yesterday. But even if they were 12-0 and ranked number one, they wouldn't get a bye, because Notre Dame, not in a conference. And the conference champions get those byes. So just make it to the conference title game. That's why it was such an important win for Georgia yesterday. And we got the Braves going on. And I think, because I have this thing, Eric, that says that in the back of my mind, that says, you know, the Braves just hammered the Dodgers twice in a row, that if they win again, and if the Mets come into town after they, because the Braves are going to go on the road, they're going to go to Cincinnati, they're going to go to Miami, then they're going to come home to play their final six against the Mets and the Kansas City Royals. If the sort of Braves make the playoffs, and I think this town's going to start buzzing for this team. They're going to kind of, they haven't yet adopted the sort of Braves, you know, and they want to, they're just, you know, a little bit like, okay. But the sort of Braves, you know, they got a couple of things in their favor right now. And one of them is the, you know, this low expectation. So if they do make the playoffs and start to do something, it's they become Braves, like the Hawks did.
Yeah, Braves fever will run wild.
Oh, it will run rampant. Wild. Like yeah. The Hawks did when yeah. Trey made that run to Milwaukee when nobody expected it.
Yep. You know, and then all we really need is a playoff game, a couple of big bombs, and one or two good pitching performances, and yeah, this city will be on fire. Because, you know, yep. To be honest with you, that might be all we have to cheer about in a month and a half.
Oh, stop. Stop it. And then through all this, I get a rando call of some guy making a demand, like he can demand anything of me. Can you imagine if I called you up and said, hey, I demand you do...
Put some respect on my name, John Fricky.
I don't have... You can't demand that of me.
I got to get that clip. You know, put some respect on my name.
I know. It's like, no. You know, I tip my hat to you when you won the Super Bowl after Katrina. You know, I mean, it was a great story. I tipped my cap, and I said, that's the only time I'll ever tip my cap to you. And the and I, as soon as I did tip my cap, I said, I tip my cap to you. Okay, we're back to hate. That's what it is. So all this to talk about, and I get a rando call saying, you must respect me. Okay. Jeff is here to talk about things that really matter here. The Falcons, the Georgia Bulldogs, the Atlanta Braves, and or if you want to jump in, hey, congrats to Georgia State, or you want to talk about your team, let us know. 404-726-0929. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, sir. Hey, I respect the Swampers. Not. I don't. I hate them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell the guy. I mean, I've got two of my best friends in the world are Swampers. And so we go round and round, back and forth, but I'm never going to like that flower hat, people. I'm never going to like that team. ever. Okay, so let's talk about, let's just move on here. Let's talk, is the game tomorrow for the Falcons, Jeff, is it critical?
Well, I would love to see him win. It would be nice, but I look for him to play better. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, I appreciate the call, Jeff, because you got full lines there, 404-726-0929. It'd be kind of funny, not funny in a funny ha-ha way, but interesting that, you know, if they played really poorly and managed to win the game, and it was just a butt-ugly game, and Cousins was terrible, and they somehow managed to win the game, I'm not sure how many fans would be going, "Eh, that made me feel better," as opposed to, you know, maybe losing the game, Cousins plays well, and they just get, like, South Carolina ref-jobbed. South Carolina got ref-jobbed really, really badly. I don't know if you saw it, but boy, they got ref-jobbed really, really badly. If I'm an LSU fan, I'm going, oh, my God, okay. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Bentley. He's on with John. Hey, Bentley, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yep, appreciate it. What do you got?
Hey, first of all, the Georgia game. Vandergrift had a lot to prove, you know, and Kentucky always plays Georgia good at Kentucky, and just, you know, sometimes you just got to sweat out the tough ones. Hey, but I want to throw out a big shout-out to the Rebels. Looked great yesterday. You know, they didn't play nobody. But then watch out for Arch Manning. You know, we've never seen a Manning run like that before. So, and then
yeah,
the
Arch
Falcons
looked really
got a
good.
Win.
Yeah,
he
Arch
did
looked
look
really good.
He looked really good. Hey, and then one more thing, and I'll let you go, John. I appreciate you. I listen to you all the time. But the Falcons got to win. It's a must win because you play the Chiefs the next week. You start out 0-3 in the NFL. It stands for not for long. So it's a must win.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I wonder, it'd be interesting to see in the 17, and I appreciate that, Jeff, you know, in the 17-game schedule, with the expanded playoff, has that changed where 0-3 teams make the playoff at more of a better clip? Remember, through these first three games, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Kansas City, I said, look, if you can come out of that 1-2, it's fine. It's the next three games. It's not games 1, 2, and 3. And I think we're all locked in on it because there are also high-profile games. It's the Steelers. It's the Eagles on Monday Night Football. It's the defending Super Bowl champions on Sunday Night Football. It's prime time. Everybody's locked in. I get it. The next three games, though, including another primetime game, when you're playing three division foes back-to-back-to-back, and one of those division foes happens to be the Orange Saints, which I cover my mouth so I don't throw up in my mouth when I say it. And, of course, Tampa and Carolina. Those three games, if you were to go 0-3 here and win those three games, and after week six you're 3-3, oh, you're in a really good spot, guys. You're in a really, really good spot. If you're 3-3, but having lost to Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Kansas City, but having won against the Swampers, the Bucks, and the Kitty Cats, you're in really good shape after 6 weeks. You're a third of the way through the season. You're 3-0 in the division. You're 3-1 in the conference. Yeah, that's a pretty good place to be. I know that 3-3 doesn't sound like much, but the thing about it is, of course, in order to get there to try to win those three games, is that you, if you put yourself in an 0-3 hole, you're now forced to win those three games. Otherwise, if you only win two of them, you're 2-4, and it's like, oh, yay, yay. So, yeah, I mean, you can make an argument, especially in the, because when you rewind last week and you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers game, you're going, you know, man, they could have won that game. Justin Fields didn't throw one pass over the middle of the field. Did you see, Eric, did you see that stat about Justin Fields last week?
The stat that he, I think his, you know, his forward passes were no more than like 3 yards or something like that?
No, no. His forward passes were all outside between the hash marks and the boundary.
Swing
he
passes.
He threw zero passes into the middle of the field. Not one. Why? Because Pittsburgh ran away because Arthur Smith said, we're running away. We're throwing away from Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. We're not going to throw to the in any way, shape, or form into the middle of the field.
Yeah. Nobody said Arthur Smith was an idiot. Not a great coach, but he's not an idiot.
No, nobody ever said. Yeah. But then we didn't. Then the Falcons didn't counter that by scheming away from T.J. Watt. All you had to do was start running. First off, you were running the ball successfully. Second, just run away from him. I don't care how fast T.J. Watt is. He's not running down Bijan Robinson
from behind
from the other side of the field.
Right.
He's not. 404-726-0929. We go to David. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, first off, congratulations to Georgia State winning touchdown pass with 15 seconds to go against Vanderbilt.
Yep. Really cool for them.
I was paying attention to the Georgia and Georgia State games, and they were both excellent competitive games. I think one thing a lot of the neutral observers think that the Falcons' starting quarterback is not fully healed. He's never been very mobile, but he was a statue Sunday. I was at the game, and I think that's part of the concern is he's not quite all the way back, and not all the way back is really not good enough when you're playing in the National Football League. Is the Philadelphia game essential? No, but I think as the season goes along, we're going to look further and further back and go, the Pittsburgh game was the game that may have been more essential, because taking an Eagles and Chiefs loss would not be surprising. Pittsburgh's not all that. That's the big problem there. You're right. If they go 0-3, it makes going 3-0 against the next division opponents are going to be absolutely critical. And I think they can lose Philadelphia, and if they look like the offensive coordinator seems to getting his act together and the quarterback seems healthier, I think that's acceptable, an acceptable loss, because then that gives you a lot of hope down the pike. But right now, I'm very concerned that this offensive coordinator may not have it and the quarterback may not quite be together. But optimistic season ticket holder, and going to be cheering in there against the Chiefs.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying is valid here. I question some of the people who say, boy, if we had just started Penix, we would have won the game. My answer to you on that is, if we had started Penix, we might have gotten Michael Penix killed, because his blindside, T.J. Watt, would have destroyed him. I mean, oh my God, he would have killed him. That's his blindside, and they couldn't block T.J. Watt. So, this is why it's, you know, a little bit of both here. Is it critical they win tomorrow night? Yes. Is it critical that they play better? Sure. It's absolutely critical that they play better and show us kind of signs of life here on offense. And again, when we talk about play better, I want to make sure everybody understands. The defense did its job. The Pittsburgh Steelers, if I had told you the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to come into Atlanta on opening day and not score a touchdown, would you have said the Falcons are going to win the game? Yes. They didn't score a touchdown. Now, they did get 6 field goals. My God. Dude, miss a couple. Chris Boswell. All right, sure. All right, top of the hour, 404-726-0929. Been a spirited discussion already in this first hour. Braves finding their groove. We got playoff baseball ahead. We got cracks in Georgia that concern you at all, or are you happy that they won ugly? And the Falcons, is it critical they win tomorrow night, or just critical they play better? On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.